Yes.
So I have handouts, but now on my way back from yeshiva, I realized that I have to really do some hakdama. And I believe that the machine was not working, so I wasn't able to Xerox the material. But I have handouts, but I'll give them out when we get to the topic I was supposed to discuss, which I had. The issue of atzitzim and chamalot, flower pots and greenhouses. I think that's how they translate chamalot. But before I do that, I thought there would be value. Actually, someone just wanted to overview. Somebody drove me. I was too tired to drive. So someone drove my car, which was fine. So meanwhile, I was busy able to write notes. Not tzaddik. Well, it's a tzaddik. Luckily, he lives in Ramat Beit-Shemesh. So that made it a bit easier. I want to just, before I get to the issues of atzitz, which I have here that I did make last week already, before I give it out, so I just wanted to a little bit overview some of the issues that we've spoken about already, because this will be a backdrop for this discussion of Nazism. And maybe I perhaps will have an opportunity by tomorrow, Mr. Hashem, to Xerox a sugya in Shabbos I would like to talk about before I get to the Nazism is a topic that's relevant to many areas of halacha. Not just in Shemitah, but in Shabbos. It's relevant to the Malacha of Tolesh, which is essentially a Tolda of Kotzer. Kotzer has also many, many applicabilities in many areas, and Otzitz is one of the areas also. So I want to just mention by way of overall overview, so some of the things that we mentioned are going to be relevant to this discussion. We spoke about the pasuk or the psukim that speak about Shemitah, observing Shemitah. We mentioned it's found in Chumash several times, but the primary preeminent source is the pasuk in Bahar, the psukim in Bahar. The Torah delineates the Isurim d'Araisa, four Isurim d'Araisa. The Torah mentions Solchal Lasizra, not to sow, Kamachal Lasizma, not to do Zemira, pruning. And then it also mentions Betzira and Ketzira, those two other Isurim d'Araisa. So we mentioned there's a whole list of Isurim that the Chazal added. They primarily found the second paragraph of Mishnayos of Shvi'is, and they include Sikul Avanim. Go ahead and person wants to remove stones from his field. It includes Zibul, want to fertilize the ground. It includes, we discussed Chamisha and Zvi, actually, we spoke about both of them. But Chamisha Letzorech HaKarka, that's the issue that we spoke about. And also you have Idur and Kirsum. There's a long list over there in the second paragraph. Mishnayos HaShvi'is, or for that matter, Hashka'ah. Someone actually asked me today about Hashka'ah. And then we saw two Yisurim in the Rambam, which also mentioned the Mishnayos of Habracha and Hakala. One is where you are Mechofef. You bend a tree, and you bend it, and two vines eventually come together. And then there's lots of grafting, and there's also Netiyat Yilanot. All these are mentioned by the Mishnayos and the Shvi'is and all the other malachas. And these malachas are primarily designated the Tovas HaKarka. You want to obviously enhance the Karka. We have not yet seen the Gemaras, but we're aware of it. The Gemaras Bechala between doing things that are simply designed to be Machsi the Karka. You want to sustain the field that should not Chas V'Sholom undergo any kind of a hefsed, any kind of a loss. And also, at the same time, you don't want to do anything that's also which will be enhancing the ukmei pera. The hachzik is a karka that's allowed. That's the Gemara in Abu Zara, the Gemara in Maikot, and a few places in Shas, where it says that's called halacha and shavodar. So the act of zriya, of planting on shvias, even though the klita of the zera will only be in the eighth year, that's not permissible. That's the pasuk for the sizra. That's what the Torah says, not to be zoreya. Now, if I don't do the avos malachas and the tolos of the malachas that I mentioned in the pasuk, but essentially, I do all the things that are also the Rabbanan. So then, Pashtus, we said, you're over, because the Pasuk said, Vishal Sarah and Shabbos Hashem. We discussed whether it's a din on the Gabra or it's a din on the Chetza, the Karka. It seems to be both. On the one hand, the Torah says, Sanchal Lasizra, Kamchal Lasizmar, Svech Kitzirchal Lasizra, Inbin Zvech Lasizra. On the other hand, two or three times it mentions in that Pasha, Vishal Sarah, Shabbos Hashem, and in general, a person who violates Shusun Drabbanam, on Shabbos, so of course you're violating an Issa. It's not, again, going to lead to Malkus, but you're talking about Malkus Malkus with Da'abonim. But it's clear that in terms of Shvius, if a person does Issa Da'abonim on Shvius, you're not essentially over on Naseim and Torah, which you might very well be doing, let's say, on Shabbos, but you're only an over on Issa Da'abonim. There's an Issa Da'abonim for a person to go ahead and do all these malachas that are relevant to Shvius. Now, the reason why I said, by way of introducing this topic, the topic of Otzitz and Chasmabot, because this is obviously all relevant to these malachas. These malachas are the ones that are involved in any of these, agricultural processes. So there one has to be careful not to be over on any of these issurim, and I'll just mention by way of introduction to the topic that all types of zriya are asur. It doesn't make a difference. Someone asked me today about planting flowers, obviously. That's not permissible. Zriya prachim. And for that matter, but it says in the pasuk, son chalis isra. So I said, what do you mean? Where do you think flowers grow? They grow in fields, in flower fields, I assume. And then he asked me, what about planting a tree? It says, son chalis isra. I said, how do you know that doesn't refer to a tree? Of course it refers to a tree. Any type of zriya, which is sowing, whether you plant tvua, whether you plant kidneys, whether you plant yarakos, whether you plant fachim, or you plant tzeiv, doesn't make a difference. It's all also on the zriya. So he asked me also about the shear. What's the shear? Zareya. Mishnah Shabbos 9 Gimel, Zareya Kolshu, Zorei Chayim and Shabbos. The only issue there, as I mentioned once before, is the Rishash and discussion among the Achrayim. If you do Zuriya, you plant the seed in the ground, but it's close to the end of Shabbos, and now you don't really have time for the seed to be niklat, to become mushrash in the kaka, are you over here? Are you over for the act of planting the seed in the ground? But no, you're only over here for the klita. That takes place, obviously, considerably later, the course of the week, perhaps, or maybe even after that. That's a machlokes among the Dolei Achronim. But here, let's say, so that's on Shabbos. Shabbos, for sure, chita achas. Even Mashu is only called an act of Zuriya. And you're over on Issa Zuriya. There's no... When it comes to the shear of Shnas HaShemitah, there's no shear as well. Yechai for Kolshu, for Zoreya, any kind of Zriya, and the like. And the others say no. Others say maybe the shears are Gogeras. Okay, but this is a separate discussion. But anyway, the point is that a person who's Zoreya and Shears, of course, you're in violation of that person that I mentioned, Sancha Basizva, Chamucha Basizvar. And that is, as I said, it doesn't make a difference what type of Zriya takes place, what kind of Zriya you're doing. And the halacha is, someone told me today that they actually planted a tree on Shemitah. I said, when did you plant the tree? He told me 2 days ago. Why did you do that? I said, it's a pasuk in Chumash. He said, well, he did it b'shogeg. It doesn't make a difference. Do it b'shogeg and b'mezeg. I said, you have to be okay the tree. You have to uproot the tree. That which you planted has to be uprooted. Or that which you sowed. And again, the halacha is that the same thing applies even if you plant what it's called Ilan Yisrak. Means it can't grow. How do you translate it into English? Ilan Yisrak, a tree that is not a barren tree, or let's say that not a yiraka. That it's all us. Again, the halacha is.
Ilan Yisrak is really a tree that doesn't bear fruit. Not because it's barren, but because
it doesn't bear fruit. Okay. Yisrak.
Well,
what was that?
It's not
Baltashis. It's not Baltashis. No, it's not. The halacha is that. Baltashis, again, we have to, and that needs a shear. What exactly is Baltashis? Well, that also is not so simple. But in this case, because you did something which is also, which is a violation of the Pasuk Chumash, you must uproot it, and you have no basis for leaving it. He told me, actually, what does that mean? I have to get the gardener to uproot it? Well, you got the gardener to plant it. So you'll get the gardener to uproot it and see the difficulty. But in general, the halacha is that he asked me, what about if I did other work? He was not aware. This person is a Baal Tshuva, a fine person. He's just not aware. It's first Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. He's just simply totally unaware of the laws of Shemitah. I actually met with him for several hours, with him and his wife, just to give him an overview the laws of Shemitah, he answered that in the shul. Anyway, so I explained to him that in Elon that there was Avodah Asura, that things that were not permissible were done on Shemitah. So he asked because he has another tree. So he worked on that tree also, the gardener. The gardener is not a frum gardener, obviously. So the gardener, I told him, only hire a frum gardener, someone who knows about Shemitah, someone who will make sure that you don't violate anything. So he asked me, so this gardener worked on another tree that's already been planted a while. The tree already has peros. He says, now are the peros also bachila. So the halacha is the peros are put to bachila. That other tree that was worked on, that the puach was done, but still a pidin, let's say he sells those peros, you should buy it. That's also quite an halacha. A lot of poskim are very, I mean, these are basic dinim that are fundamental, and we have to somehow be aware of it. So I'm only saying again that all this is, as I said, by way of introduction to the topic. I just want one or two more things I also want to point out. He asked me also about if they do it with machinery. The Issa is Ria, in the top puzzle says, Sochel Osizra. So he said, it doesn't that mean by hand? That's how they used to do this Ria. But today, usually, it's Ria. Is done. I mean, I'm not talking about my backyard where I have two trees or three trees, whatever I have there. I'm talking about in large fields. They use Ria, they use all kinds of machinery. So it doesn't make a difference. The halach is whether it's done through a balchai, it's man chazal, bechamer. So the whole paragraph of Shabbos, Meshach, she's the most to bechamer. Achar behemto on Shabbos. The two Yisurim, one is Jesus Behema, that's a puzzle that serves a difference. So it sounds like a malach, atom, and then there's the Yisur called bechamer. That's also using an animal for plowing, for sowing. That's what they did with Mount Chazal. But today it's all done with machinery. And so no matter how you do it, it's also. The question is whether that is completely true. Is there machlokes? That's what he asked me. So there is an opinion that says the machine is a brahma. I spoke about actually a few weeks ago. You do it through a machine, you're not over it directly, but it's only considered to be a brahma because you're not doing a pool of your dying. You're doing it through a machinery. This is discussed by the Zohar Achronim that says that's reference to the whole issue of Shemitah. But my interest now is simply to provide a little backdrop to what we're about to talk about. And I also mentioned a few more things that I wrote down for myself just to remember. I mentioned that even if someone goes ahead and you want to a little bit of covering of the roots by covering with offer. This is also again a very, very, these are all Mishnais, everything's Mishnais. It's about Mishnais and Masechta Shviyos, which I'm now attempting to teach in my yeshiva to a small group of people who are willing to learn with me. Because with me, it's not just learning the Mishnais, it's the Rashi Mishnais and a few other things in Shalmis. So you have to really be willing to. I don't know, they call them Mesiras Nefesh. I don't know if it's actually Mesiras Nefesh, but okay, that's how they see it, as an active Mesiras Nefesh. But there are two or three very good boys that I took there, and now they have become my partners in learning Yerushalmi and Shvius and Rashi Mishnayos. Okay, so all this is by way of simply introduction to the general topic, and maybe I want to first, and really I should have, maybe I'll tell you why since it's, I'm just beginning actually, so maybe we'll do that. But it doesn't have all the Gemaras that I would like to discuss. But let's start with this, okay? And from here we will proceed. Perhaps tomorrow I'll refer, maybe when it's still developed off these sheets, it may take us more than two or three sessions in terms of the sheets. I'll also refer you to an issue, which is a famous issue. That's the issue of what's it's in. As I said, in other areas of halacha, which is really important by way of background. But I think we'll just start with this because this is quite significant in terms of the issue of atzitzit. There's a Yerushalmi in Orla, this Yerushalmi has always intrigued me for many, many years. And Yerushalmi has been dying in the psukim, the yukim that are hafavik, I don't know how else to describe it. The Torah says, Sadukha l'sizra. What does it mention? Zriya, sowing the field is asa. What's asa? A field. Sod chalos izra. That's a pretty clear statement. And then the others we know. Kam chalos izmar, sfiach ketzircha lo sitzor, in ben zirecha anavim lo sitzor. So now the question is, and this is nogi alocha lebaise, with what's called matzah menutak, I don't know how they detach bedding, they told me, is one translation of it, or for that matter, chamamot, greenhouses, the whole enterprise which they were involved in, Gush Katif, which was an absolutely beautiful enterprise, is still operative in Eretz Yisrael today, less so than the previous shmitas. That's what I'm seeing, much less so. And the reason is because apparently it's very expensive. It's not, in terms of the economical feasibility of doing it, so at one time they thought it was economically more feasible, and now they discovered it's very, very expensive, so it's much less of it. But the reason why I mentioned that it's now the issue of chamamot b'toch habayit, atzitzim b'toch habayit. What do I do if I have flower pots in my house, and many, many of us have such flower pots in our homes, and people also have chamamot, and let's say somebody's on the gang, on the roof of the house, some people actually hear it on Rav Hashem, they have gardens on their roofs. I don't know if you've ever been up to these roofs. I have a few times. Now the question is, what's the status of, as the Rishonim writes here in Arlo, the first Rishonim on page number one, I forgot the number of pages, Rabbi Yochanan Rishonim Abiyana, Ilan Shenotoo B'toch HaBayis. I go and plant the tree in my house. So the Yushalmi writes, Rabbi Yochanan claims, Chayav Arlo. For that, I'm liable to the Din B'Arlo. Arlo is the halacha, the Torah says, Kisav Arlo Aretz. When the Tatum Kolez Machom, Varaltim Rolos Respirio, Shalom Shalom Yelacham Arenu Loyach. For 3 years, you cannot partake of that fruit. And then the fourth year of Hashem Arias, Yelkol Pirio Kolishimul Hashem, as a din of Netu Abai. Netu Abai has a din of Masashani. Masashani, the Torah says, hey, you either can take the produce of Yerushalayim and eat them in Kushit Masashani, or you can go ahead and exchange the Kedusha and exchange it to a coin. And beside the case of Yalcha, you go to Yerushalayim, and with that coin, you buy something and eat a big dish of Master Shane. So that's Rabbi has the same halacha. So the problem here is regarding two areas of halacha, Arla and Maiseh. What's the deal with Gabi Arla? If I plant the tree in my house, so it says, Yechayim and Arla. What about Maiseh? Your potter. Why? So again, look at the diukim that Yerushalayim makes. Yechsiv Aser to Aser is called to Aser Echa. Ayotse Aser, Deshana Shoda. Maybe one of the few things that I miss in Eretz Yisrael is the reading of Aser to Aser. We don't read it here. Echutzar, as I remember, that was like probably one of the major kriyot that took place on a Yom Tov, if I'm not mistaken.
Throw us here down in the
Yom. In case I want to catch the Aser to Aser. What? Thank you. Thank you all. Anyway, for being Zakibi. So I think I told you the story, but I not, of course I did. I said it all, but I heard the story from the Shiva of Faroah, Aram Nerda, Zatzal. I was very friendly with him. I became friendly with him before I met Aliyah because I worked in Toronto in Yeshiva Bnei Akiva called Aruch Chaim. We used to hire Ram in Eretz Yisrael. So for me, it was good because my parents, Aliyah Mashal, lived in Eretz Yisrael. And I had a ticket to Eretz Yisrael. And I used to come once a year, sometimes I came twice a year to hire Ram, Israeli Ram, to teach in this Canadian Yeshiva. Trust me, it was a disaster. They couldn't speak English. But even beside the English, the cultural barrier was so great. It was mind-boggling. So one of the people that I hired was Mamish Hagoyin Rav Mordechai Bar Eli Tzatzal. He's a son-in-law of Rav Nerda. He was a Rosh Kodol of an Eva Ezra Kodol in Psagot. That's where he was, a Rosh Kodol. I think this fellow was a Rosh Kodol in Eva Ezra Psagot, the Mavrech, around the late 20s and 30s. Merkaz Aravnik, he's a Merkaz Aravnik. And I bring him to teach a freshman year, ninth grade in a high school in Canada. Now, it's true, Canada is not the same as the U.S. It's a little bit better. It's 30 years behind the times. Maybe like South Africa, perhaps, I don't know. Okay. But, b'chozo, and in 1 year, they push it. And you know, I can only describe it in Yiddish. They made Roshan Blota for me. They destroyed the poor fellow. I mean, he couldn't speak a word of English. Along the Muflo. And he's teaching this grade 9, 13-year-old young man who didn't have much of an interest in learning. Rabbi Fahmy, you don't recognize that there is such a phenomenon. There is such a concept that people don't have an interest in learning. Okay, so to make a long story short, the plus of meeting him was through him I got to know Yisrael. I got to know Rav Nerda, who was probably considered to be the founding father of Yeshivot Bnei Akiva, and he was a remarkable Talmid Chacham. And he also is a Talmid Chacham who was a Mechaber many, many Sforim, and he used to give me a Sefer every single year. Every time I went there, I got another Sefer. From Yibad, they are all kinds of Swarm, you probably maybe are a rat, maybe you're familiar with them. But also, the plus that I got there, he met Rabbi Soloveitchik in 1935. Here at Tzitzel, when the Rav went to visit Kuk's Hatzal. That was the last year of Kuk's life. And he was there. He was in Adria. And he reported to me. He also wrote about it in one of his Svarim. And he reported to me the first time I met him, because he, after he heard that I love Rabbi Soloveitchik, so he told me that story, which was really an amazing, absolutely amazing story. But the Rabbi Soloveitchik met Rabbi Kuk. That's how he was on his deathbed. It was 1935. And so Rav Kook, after speaking to the Rav, apparently for quite a while, he said that Der Enikel of Rav Chaim Riske had the neshama of Rav Chaim Riske. His grandson, Rav Chaim Riske, had the neshama of his grandfather. Anyway, so the reason why I mentioned this, Rav Neria discussed with me this Yerushalmi. This goes back many, many years. And this Yerushalmi is amazing because... he asked me, Rabbi Neri, if I learned Yerushalmis. I barely learned Bavli's. It's called like Yerushalmis. And so he answered, that's when I started learning Yerushalmi. Mamish because of him. So he has a lot of credits for a lot of things in my life. So the problem is, look at the pasuk. Aser to Aser is called to Aserecha. Oh, the reason why I told the story is not because of all this. I told the story because he told me also the story. Namely, that Rabbi Yaakov Meshech Halak, who was a Talmud of Rakuk, Talmud Chover, of Rakuk Zatzal, he was poor. Beyond belief, he was the term that they use. I don't know why they use the term poor as a church mouse, whatever that means. Anyway, so he was so poor that his son, Rabbi Chil Michal, was the father of Rabbi Zvul Chalav, ended up in Chutzaretz. He left Eretz Yisrael in the 30s because they were so impoverished, they had no money. And he became a rabbi in the Bronx. That's how I know the Rabbi Chil Michal, the son of Rabbi Yaakov Meshech Halak. I came there as a Yiddish Gita Shabbos, as Abchil Michal is the author of Chofiyam, 20, 30 volumes of Shas. And so he was the brother himself. And I used to go, my father took me, I was 5 years old, he used to give drushes and Shabbos afternoon in Yiddish and in Hebrew. Those are the only two languages he spoke, he didn't speak word of English. Anyway, make a long story short, Abchil Michal, his father, Abchil Michal, was so poor, he went to Abkuk, he heard there was second day Binyanim here in Eretz Yisrael, based on the Afkas Reichel, the Besesik. Right, so the tshuva, famous tshuva, that people come up with stuff to sell, stay in hotels. So he wanted to be a mashgiach in a hotel, make some money on Pesach. So a cook held it's awesome. He held one day. He was one of those who was buried in the Chacham Tzvi, and there's nothing to talk about. One day, we come to the Elisa, and I'm a Shabbakim Gervi. You don't hold 2 days here. So he pressed him and pressed him and pressed him. No, one day, that's what a cook held. Finally, he was crying in front of his Rebbe. Akinikach. This is what all the story I heard from Rav Neria. He knew it firsthand from Rabbi Yaakov Meshech Halak. So Rav Kook agreed he could be a mashgiach in the hotel. With one tonight, that the second night when they have a seder, they're going to play music in the background. Just to essentially demonstrate to those people that they are acting inappropriately. I mean, the people of Chutzlaretz, they should be holding a second day of Yom Tov. It should be one day. And the Kachada. So he became a mashgiach. The music was playing in the background. The Pella was that Rav Neria told me, they enjoyed it, the people from Chutzlaretz. They had a lot of hanah. Their seder was now a seder which was basically musical. Very musical seder. It was tremendous. They thought it was gewaldig. Okay, so this Yerushalmi says the following. Aser to Aser is called Tzuas Tzarecha. Hayotzi Aser, Neshon Hashon. So the Yerushalmi is talking about the pasuk that deals with Maaser. What does the Torah say regarding Maaser? It says very clearly, Hayotzi Aser, Neshon Hashon. So Bayit is not Sodeh. A house is not a field. So therefore, a house says the Yerushalmi of Yechad is part of the Ramesses, just based on the pasuk. What about Shvius? That you have to go ahead and observe the Shvius related to this issue of Ilam Zohar Bais. So where is the tree? In your house. Where is your house? Oretz. It's on the ground. What are you showing me? I heard this. I was absolutely flabbergasted. What in heaven's name does this mean? I understand the issue of Maaser. That I do understand. So then, a house is not a Sodeh. But now you're telling me, Bayit. Bayit is not Oretz. As far as I know, what is Bayit? Bayit is a Mivdeh. A Mivdeh that has a gag. It's a question how you define a Bayit. Actually, that needs attention. But essentially, there's a, as far as I can see over here, it looks like there's a floor. And even downstairs is a floor. Okay, the floor is on the ground. That's not. Why should that be called Eretz? And yet that's what the Yerushalmi says. What a deal Yerushalmi makes. And then he says, of course, another pasuk, Uksiv, Sarcha Lesizah, Lechamach Lesizah. And that's basically when it comes to Zriya, the Torah teaches about sodik. And the bayit is, as I said, is on the karka, which is called aretz, but it has a gag, and that's what the Yerushalmi is discussing basically. So even though, in effect, you have what's considered to be what seems to be an independent kind of structure, a bayit is an independent structure, ofei and lechora. But b'chazal, what does the Yerushalmi say? The Yerushalmi says that a bayit is going to be part of an amaiser, but as far as Arla, it's going to be chayp and Arla, because what does the pasuk say? See, the question is over there, what is the basis for the chiyah of Arla? So the pasuk says, you come to Eretz Yisrael. So the Eretz Yisrael doesn't say that Dafka has to be an Elon Masod. It could be an Elon Tachabayas. The pasuk says, it's all based on psukim, like a reading, a textual, a literal reading of the text. Incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I still haven't recovered from this Yerushalmi. Literally, I never heard such a diyukin. Who makes such diyukin? It doesn't. L'chara pisvara. There's a welcome to question this. So take a look in the Moshe, the left hand side. He's the Mefarshim. The Yerushalmi was the Mefarshim. He writes, "Mishviyas tzvicha." What does Yerushalmi mean? As far as tzvicha is concerned, it's applicable. Well, the Shri is misakala. No, he said there's a suffix. Shem the kosa vechalom v'mishav saaretz. Mashman v'chol v'akum shubaretz lo yivo shvies. As long as there's aretz, so there's a din of shvies. The kosa vechalom is solcha l'sizva. The mashka daf yom v'solcha v'lai abayet. So you have a stira in the psukim. Would you call that a stira? If you were to be asked, any of you, would you say that's a stira? I don't think it's a stira at all. First of all, we're talking about two totally different, completely different issues. One, the Torah speaks about in the context of Mishav Saaretz, that's the Psukim in Bahar, but the Torah says that you're obligated to observe Shemitah, Mishav Saaretz, Shabbos Hashem. And that's a general kind of statement, Mishav Saaretz, Shabbos Hashem. Is that a halachic statement? That's what I've asked already once or twice already. Is that a halachic statement, Mishav Saaretz, Shabbos Hashem? There's no question, it's a philosophic statement. It's a Ruchniistic statement. It's a very significant statement. I'm not denying the importance of that statement. But is that stating a halacha? Mishav Saaretz, Shabbos Hashem, it has a lot of philosophic and Ruchniistic ramifications. But it's not a din. I understand Zohar Lesizu. That's a din. That's a halacha. That don't be Zoraya Sodin. Don't sow a field. But when it says Mishav Saaretz, so he says, no. The Pei Moshe assumed, the Chalmah Shubar is like Moshevitz. That's not how I interpret that pasuk. We know that the Rishonim, we saw this already a few weeks ago, that Rishonim compare Shabbos to Shemitah. Shemitah is compared to Shabbos. Meshech Chochma, I mentioned Meshech Chochma has a lengthy analogy. He draws an analogy between Shabbos and Shemitah and between Yovel and Yom Tov. Very beautiful analogy. Because Yom Tov, the halach is, we are the ones who are sanctified Yom Tov. That's Gemara Brachos. Gemara says that Yisrael, the Kachinul is Madim. And that's the Mishnayis in the Rosh Hashanah and Sanhedrin, that if not for our declaring the Rosh Chodesh, we would not have Yom Tov. Yom Tov is based on our Atim, Afilu Mutayim, Afilu Shodim, Afilu Mezid. We're the ones who are Kamei Yom Tov. Shabbos is not declared by us. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh HaShabbos. The Gemara says, Shabbos is declared by Hashem's Baruch. Meshech Chochma points out that the distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos, if we don't observe Yom Tov, then it could be something is lacking in the very Kedusha of Yom Tov. Mashiach Shabbos is Kavua V'Kaima. It's not totally on us. It doesn't depend on our observance of Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos, whether we observe it or not observe it. We should all observe Shabbos. Ilmol Shabbos Shesh Shabbos and the Adam the Golem. They say Pshat in the Y. The Minigah Grove seems to be the Minigah all over itself. It's right in the Ashkenaz. They don't say on Friday night, they don't say on Yom Tov night, all those Sukkim before Shemoneh, which I used to say in Chutzaraz, and I'm mistaken. We said the Shomru. Oh, they sang it. Oh, even better. So they sang the Shomru and Yisrael Sashabbos. So we don't say it because the Gain held it's a hefsek between Gula and Tzvila. Tzmichas Gula and Tzvila, which Rashi calls it Brochus, Rashi and Abdalim, with two reasons why Tzmichas Gula and Tzvila. One is a Svara and one is a Yushalmi. But whatever the case is, there's a Din of Tzmichas Gula and Tzvila, so we don't do it. So what's the, how do we defend the people of Chutzaraz who do say the Shomru? So the Lavush has a defense for every single pasuk. For this pasuk on Shabbos, the Lavush writes, "Il molei shomu yisrael shnei shabbosim miyad nigolim." So you see that this idea is connected to Gula. You should Gula Tzvila. That's a Labush Rat. He's a genius of Labush. No one learns that Sefer, Rabbi Brad. I mean, I myself don't learn the Labush at all. There are people who used to learn the Labush in Keseda. Just like they learned Tosh Malach, they learned the Labush, which is a fantastic Sefer. And then before she quoted, so my justification, I learned a little bit about Avram here and there, a little bit of Mr. Brewer here and there, and then when they put the Labush, so I learned that in the Labush, but often come, I don't learn the Labush. Okay, so I'm saying that this person, Bishop Sa'ar, is to go ahead and the way Bishop understands it, is telling you Halacha. That's not how I understood the person, with all due respect. And then he goes further, the other person, Sa'ar HaLasisra. That I understand. But I don't see a Stira. What's the Stira? I never understood the stira. I'm still having difficulty with the stira. Okay, so now you'll see here the Mefarshim will comment on this. And this is going to lead us to the issue of Atzitz. This is the preamble to Atzitz, to any flower, what do they call them? Flower pots? I'm sure what they call it. Plants? That's going to be depending on the question. What? Potted plants, whether they're knocker or not knocker, that's what we'll see about that shortly. So the Pasha Shulchan, he writes, Ilan Shinatoh Batoch HaBayis, I raise a sobek, the Noibok on the Nishmiz, very similar to the comment of the, he doesn't explain what exactly the sobek is, but the sobek of the Pemesh already told us exactly the nature of the sobek, and you take a look further that the Pasha Shulchan writes it also, the Kabbalah, Pasha Shulchan, by the way, is a fantastic sefer, the Talmud of the Goyim. What a sefer. I learned good segments of the Pasach Shulchan, and now I'm doing it again because of Shemitah. Fantastic sefer. I recommend it highly. The Lekamah B'Rati D'Rabbeinu V'Achreinim Echviyu D'Shvi'ez V'Azeh D'Rabbanu L'Vizeh Abayi L'Kula. We have a sofek, and Shvi'ez V'Azeh D'Fi'i Rav HaPoskim D'Rabbanu Sofek D'Rabbanu L'Kula. So you can be Mekel. And that's what, again, we see this in the Pasach Shulchan. Shvi'ez, he has a lot on Zoyim. So now the Chazanish comments on this. He says, "V'ika on the left hand column. V'ika had yisal shabas hashulchan zal. La'akel b'svegad didon ena vuchra. He's not convinced the Chazanish that this is a correct position. Yesh lomar came and v'ika asovik b'daraisa. We're talking about an issue which is a daraisa issue. How to interpret psukim chumash? What is the status of bayit in the course of shemitah? Is bayit considered to be oretz, or is bayit considered to be an independent kind of structure?" And he said, that something is a Sabi Daraisa. Vazin l'chumra. Memela, gamay da, vazin l'chumra. He doesn't understand what the issue is. Why should we be no till the hokel, says the Chazanish? We should be machmir. There's absolutely no reason to be made to on. The country is a good reason to be machmir. So this is the subject of a big machlokes among the Dole Achronim. And just to show you, we'll get the issue of Zvi HaBalachis on the last two pages here. I again quote this more or less just in brief. The issue of a bayit, as you can see on the next page, next to the last. So again, Shalmi that we just read, and the Bnei Moshe also has the same in the Pasach Shulchan. It's just like a summary of the what I just cited to you. And at the end of the day, it's Achum Zachri regarding this issue, namely the status of a house that is going to be relevant, as we'll see in a moment, to the issue of otzitz, because people generally have plants. In their home. I actually was invited here before Shemitah and before Corona. So I was invited to a home in Ramat Beit Shemesh before I moved here, actually. And so I came to a home which was one botanical garden. I never saw anything like it. The entire house, everywhere you went, there was greenery. Mamish plants everywhere. When I say everywhere, all over the living room, all over the kitchen, all over the dining room, it was just plants. I never came out and saw anything like it. The entire, and the person it happens to be, I discovered, they call themselves the horticulturists. That's what they do. That's the tasuka. That's what this person does. And therefore, he has, I guess, samples, I'm not sure, of his ware in the entire house. I mean, Mamashai, it was nervous. And he also has the houses built in such a way. It's not exactly this shuna, it's like one of the other shunas. Yeah, I don't know these shuna too well. I'm only here 4 years, so I know where to go to the shul, and where to go to my house, and that's about the extent of it. And they go to the yeshiva. So so they have like, what do they call these?
Skylight.
Yeah, what do they call them?
Skylight.
Skylight all over the place. Skylights everywhere. And that's a problem to Shvita. mamish an issue, a real issue. Matter of fact, they asked me recently, before Shemitah, what should they do? I told them, cover the skylight. He said, let me cover it. It's three quarters of the house. Like people have cars that have that open up, that have a
convertible.
The whole house is one convertible. And they said, what do you mean? It will just not do everything that we are, that we're all about. They're just here. This is the first Shemitah here, that's itself. But that's what they build this kind of a home, which is a convertible. Nerevali, but what do they do with their Shemitah? They really have a problem. Very serious problem. So they wanted to argue that because there's a glass, it's a hefsek, it's a chatzitza, and really, what, the sunlight doesn't have the impact? That's how it all grows with the sex. And they also, of course, they water it. Now, I'm not discussing the water here. I'm just talking about the sunlight coming in. I'll get to that. Someone else along as well. Pellets. I don't understand how they, how the issue is dealt with. And I think it's a massive, massive problem. Halacha. So I suggested to everybody three or four times, and they decided to ask another rav. Baruch Hashem, the other rav was masking today. So at the end, they had no choice. They built a retractable roof on top of this glass convertible, whatever you call it. And now it's cost him a fortune, cost him a fortune of money. So he was upset with me. He asked me if I want to contribute. Mind to contribute to that cause. I think there are more significant causes to contribute to. And that's what he did. So you know, he covered all those areas. And then he asked me, what about during a cloudy day or rainy day? There's no sun. Can he open up the roof? I said, well, I think you can probably make it out there. I'm not sure. As long as air doesn't come in. Air does not come in. He controlled. There's like climate control over there. Total climate control. I never saw anything like it. There a lot of money spent on this venture, this enterprise. It reminded me of, in my former neighborhood, there were several people who owned wine cellars. I'm talking about a room this size. I'm not exaggerating. With stocked with bottles of liquor and wine. And there's temperature control. And they age. The whiskey is aged and the wine is aged. And that's obviously people who are connoisseurs, who are big Bikiyim, said that that's what they do. I mean, they used to sell me the chametz, which was worth tens of thousands of dollars. And once in a while, they produce a bottle of a simcha or something, which was, I don't know. I have no mumchias in this area whatsoever, zero. I can't tell the difference between water and one of these aged whiskeys. Mamash, to me, they're all the same. But anyway, so this person, I told him, they asked me, but when it's raining or when it's cloudy, could they open up the retractable roof that they built? So I thought maybe it's a makom lahakil. As long as you don't have avir tzach coming in, that might cause the plant to grow. But basically, the plants grow based on the watering that he does and also on the sunlight that he has. And he also has artificial sunlight. Now, I don't exactly know what the role of that is, how that works in terms of plants and what have you. Does that also contribute to? Yes, it's artificial sunlight, a shayla and shmita. Anything that's done artificially, is that a violation of the din of shmita? You're causing what the word says, in your ukme peirah, you're enhancing the growth of the tree. Is the enhancement only comes from natural sources? What about the artificial sources, from technology? Wow. So I asked Adam Godel. He told me he thought that no, only applies under natural circumstances. That was also chiddush to me, as opposed to artificial kind of circumstances. But all this is based really on this Yushalmi. This Yushalmi is an incredible makar, which I would not have suggested, making such a diuk in the Yushalmi in Arla, in the first parak, a diuk between what's called the bayis, what's called the sadeh, what is included in Aretz, unbelievable. I have not been coming from it since Rav Neria Zatzal showed it to me. And decades ago. I've not been coming from this Yerushalmi. I don't even know how to wrap my hands around it. It bothers me so much. Okay, so now this is the introduction. The introduction to the issue that we're going to talk about, which is Ria, Batis and Bachayis. Now, what I'll do probably before I do this, is I will learn a sugya in Shabbos, because I have a lot of interest in the sugya of Otzis and Kol HaShas. It's in Tuba Batara, it's in Shabbos, it's in Trias, it's in Zroyim, it's in a few areas. I'm not going to go crazy, but a little bit, if you don't mind, because that's my nature. I like to examine things as well. So I'll try to clean it by tomorrow to Xerox a few Gemaras and a few Rambams, and then we'll come back to this with Hashem next week they'll come to even halacha lemaisa. That's what people in the shul want to say. Halacha lemaisa. Someone in the shul told me, every time I ask you a kasha, by the way, what do you tell me? You look for a svara, you quote me a Rambam, the Gemara. I just want to know, is it chayav? Is it potter? Is it mutter? Is it asur? I said, and those are meaningless words. Just to say chayav and potter and mutter and asur is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. What does it mean? It means, I know what to do, it tells me. I said, no, you don't know what to do. If you don't understand what you're doing, you don't know what to do. So where did you get that from? I said, I got it from the following. I'll just end with this. I got it from the following. There's a very, very big push, and I'm not against learning halacha lemaisa. Don't misunderstand me. The asugish maisa leaves hilchasa. That's what I'm supposed to do at the end of the day. Halacha lemaisa. But we also have to understand how to get there. If you don't understand how to get there, then it's almost, I told Hagoyin of David Miller in the Yeshiva Rasi Kollel, which my yeshiva is nestled over there 22 years already. So I told him already, he does not want me to say this publicly. They learned their Yerodea. How did they learn Yerodea? Without the Gemara Chulin. How do you learn Yerodea without Chulin? Without learning the Torah Shemana Rosh. Without learning the Torah Sabayis and the Rashba. Without learning the Rav. So I said this already years ago. He begs me not to say this because that's not what they do. They learn Taz and Shach. There's no way you can understand the Taz and Shach unless you don't get out of Shikalabas. No way, not even 100 years. You stand in your head all day and all night. You'll not understand it. You don't know the conceptual background. So everything I learned, that's what my rabbi told me to do. So someone asked me, where did you come up with this idea? I said, oh, my rabbi, that's what they did. So did they pass me shilas? All of them were rabbonim. All of them were so, don't need Israel. Anyway, to the mazaleinu or the mazali, this Shabbos, someone asked me, Akasha, one of Rabbi Devinsol's sichot, he has sichas atomish. He has a Pasha Vayera. Mamash exactly this Sicha. I really look at his Sicha. I heard it most of them. But I never heard this Sicha. And he talks about the importance of learning the Sugyas in Shas before you learn Al Halamaisa. A whole discussion on it. And if you don't understand the underlying concepts, you don't have appreciation of Allah. Your appreciation of Allah is magnified tenfold, enhanced incredibly if you understand the background of what you're learning, you know, the concepts that are involved. Although I can, you don't have to, you're not bechuyin to agree with me, but I think that it's all based. I think it's all based. I'm not against learning halacha. But as soon as Shmaita leaves halacha, I'm very much in favor of. But I think you only do that if you have a background, at least even minimalistic background. I'm not asking you to go through every Kivega. I'm not asking you to go through every Pisrei Tshuva. But the background, at least the concepts that the halacha is talking about, you have to understand. Otherwise, there's no appreciation of halacha. I say that in Yerodea, that the Ezech, Hashem Mishpa, and Archaim, doesn't make a difference. I think that's the way it is. So he told me this person, how am I supposed to have time to do all this? So I said, if you don't waste any time on Narish Gaiden, you have time to do it. Even the person, I work for a living. I work for a living. I work very hard for a living and I spend most of my days not necessarily in learning. I schmooze the Talmidim. That to me is a part of learning. I'm trying to motivate them to learn, to inspire them. I'm not joking. You probably don't believe me, but okay, I'm telling you what I do. This is what I do. So that's important, I think, but at the same time, if you give an appreciation of the sugya, then the hitlavut for learning will be 10,000 times more, and they'll be excited about learning for the rest of their lives. Okay, now if you want to return this to me, you'll bring it next time. I don't know if you want to. I can hold on to it for you. Trust me. This matter, unless you want to hold on to it, it's up to you. I'm not against whatever you want to do. If you get back to me, I'll return it to you next time. Well, okay, she got it.
I didn't say that. The Pesach Shabbos was recently. You know, it can be. I don't understand the context.